We have a weekly series going on right now about adoption in Minnesota, foster adoption. Today we are speaking with Heather Van Brunt. She's the Permanency Services Director at Foster Adopt Minnesota. Oversees both the Post-Permanency Navigator Program and the HELP Program, which are both key statewide support services for our adoptive, foster care, and kinship families. She's been a licensed social worker for over 30 years and has worked in the field of adoption support services for 24 years. So in the series, we have been learning about the need for foster and adoptive families for children and teens in foster care and how that process works, what kind of preparation and education is needed. So now Heather is here today to help us talk a little bit about the importance of ongoing support for those youth and families that are touched by kinship care and foster care plus adoption. Heather, thank you for being here today.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm really happy to join you today.
This is so interesting. I'm sure that I have a lot of listeners or family members of listeners even that have been interested in foster adoption. And this is so good because sometimes they're afraid to reach out and find all the facts. So today and throughout this series, you've been giving us such wonderful information. I guess one of the first questions I want to ask you about is what are some of the unique support needs and considerations children and teens may have who experience foster care and adoption?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really great place to start and, you know, acknowledge because so many things about our aspects about our kids and teens today have, like, just so much overlap with, you know, no matter. But there are some unique considerations, and so that we're around to help people get connected to the right kinds of support and just understand and be able to hold that there are some of these other uniqueness behind the scenes, so to speak. So I'd like to start with this, you know, kind of topic of just, you know, parents, caregivers, loved ones, people, you know, who are connected to our youth, just if they can start with an awareness and a curiosity and acknowledgement that there might be some, you know, unique pieces and there's, like, multiple realities, you know, of experience and feelings that can exist at the same time. They don't cancel each other out.
You
can, you know, hold the hope and thankfulness for where somebody, you know, where they're at in life at the time and have the positive, but also holding kind of the hard stuff too. And, and so, you know, some of those unique needs are, you know, anybody who's experienced adoption, foster care, kinship care. There has been a loss there. There's a grief experience to be, you know, acknowledged across different stages of development that might need support and to be integrated and allowed, you know, to be expressed, and it might come out in different ways. And so just the acknowledgement that there is a loss there, even when there's these gains and, you know, wonderful things as well. So some core layers and considerations that can kind of bubble through people's experiences that we don't want to make, you know, their experience all about that, but we don't want to miss key things that could need support along the way. So, you know, some core considerations around loss, you know, maybe just with, you know, entering, you know, care and having lots of changes in their life. They might have, like, a lot of different kinds of questions about their identity or how they experience rejection, how their trust in relationships might be, you know, impacted. And so things like that are kind of, you know, woven into the fabric of the experience. Are, you know, some unique needs and considerations to just be able to hold at the, you know, at the same time as, you know, some other pieces as well. And, you know, the kids who have experienced, you know, separation from their first family and, you know, relationships or experienced abuse or neglect in those kinds of, you know, situations, they had broken relationships and attachments.
Yeah.
That's really, we're talking trauma, you know, there too. And so that, you know, that complex developmental trauma that happens over the course of time in multiple ways that impacts development and brain development. And, you know, there's if that trauma experience, when that trauma experience is part of what kids have experienced, that is some unique, you know, brings about some unique needs too. And, you know, for some, if they've had these experiences, there might also be trauma to the brain and body that might have happened in utero if there was exposure to drugs or alcohol.
Yeah.
Those can be some unique needs that can be kind of invisible, yet very present. And so helping folks get the right kind of support and assessment and ongoing support with that too. You know, connections are very important for humans, you know, in general, and yeah, relationships, but the support needs for, you know, children and teens that have experienced foster care and adoption, just being, you know, for loved ones, you know, to have kind of this lens to look through that, yes, their birth and first family, important relationships when possible, and connections to, you know, maintain that in a some level of that in a healthy way, have cultural connections, because that also can be very much in the mix of losing some connections to cultural, you know, cultural connections. And so, and also having peer relationships, being able to connect with kids and teens who've had some of the same kinds of experiences and to know that they're not alone.
Yeah. I can imagine. I think back to when I was, gosh, I think I was 13. No, I had maybe, I'm a little younger than 13, but I went through this period of life where I was always getting homesick. I always wanted to be home. And I would go and I would stay overnight at a friend's house, and they didn't live too far away because I was a country kid. Well, I ran away because I had to see my mom and dad. I ran across the cornfield in the middle of the night just to get home to my parents, who were actually not home. And that's why I was staying there. But I didn't know that they were out that night. So, but I think about being a kid and just having that longing. You know, you think about these children, no matter what they've been through, there can be a relationship with a parent that can be both, I remember a loving relationship, and then at other times, maybe it wasn't so good. So you have a mixed bag of emotions there that you can get a little bit homesick, or maybe not, but anything can happen here.
Yes, and so that's why, you know, we support parents and caregivers to really giving them a lot of support to be able to hold all that and make it kind of like this, that they are, you know, creating an environment, emotional environment that makes it okay to be able to like acknowledge some of the complexity of all of that. And, that, you know, that it doesn't get just buried because that stuff is very real. So, moving in. It would be great to like, you know, just talk a little bit too about how we support the folks around, you know, our children and youth that have had these experiences.
Right. Are there, you know, considerations for parents and siblings and full families for short-term and long-term care? Like once maybe you have a foster adoption, maybe it's going to be long-term, you know, you think you probably will have some help in the beginning because you're just learning about, you know, how to be a parent to someone who's experienced things differently, maybe than your own kids.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just in the amount of time that we have here, you know, just kind of given the broad overview of, I mean, there's just the support for what we call the whole constellation, you know, of family members is really crucial. And particularly for parents and caregivers and those living in the same home, siblings, you know, and even extended family, it's having some extra support for them is really critical. And like the support for parents and caregivers is really a linchpin in all of this, because for kids and teens, there's we can surround and offer lots of different kinds of services and support, and we can't control everything though either, but you know, we can control the kind of education and support that we ourselves are getting, you know, as parents and caregivers. And relationally, we're the main you know, we're, I like to use the word linchpin, you know, of just like we're, you know, for our kids, we're at the center of so much of like the support that we can give them relationally as well as connection for other support. So, you know, we are all about helping parents and caregivers with their own self-care, giving ideas on how to bolster their own support system, support for trauma and attachment-informed parenting. That really includes us helping people connect to resources that are going to help them understand their own parenting journey and, you know, where they're at with their own, you know, what has been their history? Has there been any trauma there? What are their parenting beliefs and history? What's a couple support look like? So there's lots of psychoeducation, but peer support that we help people get, you know, connected to and helping them in an ongoing way. Because it's not just like one brief moment in time you learn all of this. Like, we're also helping people for the long term, you know, understand the services and systems out there, too, that they might be interacting with or could be, you know, along the way. And so we really are helpful for that. But and then we help them look at, you know, what are the other folks in the household and extended family experiencing, too, so that we can get really a family systems support, you know, going from for everybody.
Right. So you offer things like there's services and support out there, and you know where to find that stuff. Of course, you guys help people along that path.
Yeah. I love working with and for Foster Adopt Minnesota. You know, many years in the adoption support service community, and these last 11 years or so being at Foster Adopt Minnesota, it's just. You know, you mentioned in the bio, like I heard of the permanency support services at our agency. And so these things have really grown and evolved over time. And it's just been great to be a part of that. One thing that, you know, as far as just to know what's out there, you know, something that we're tasked with developing is it's called a permanency resource hub for the states. It's a permanencyhubmn.org, and it's a website that we developed that that it helps. It just is a landing place and for statewide supports that have contracts with the Department of Children, Youth, and Families that have statewide supports by region services. National, state, regional resources for families and professionals. There's a calendar of offerings at that permanencyhubmn.org, and that's really bringing together a whole bunch of different statewide services that are tasked with supporting this adoption, foster care, and kinship, you know, community. And so that's a great resource and newly developed and will be ongoing, you know, developed. And then at FAM, at Foster Adopt Minnesota, you know, we have our permanency services, the Post-Permanency Navigator Program and the HELP Program. And, you know, both of those are free. They're statewide. They're accessible by phone and email. They're confidential. They can be used multiple times, you know, over the course of time. They're they're staffed by a team of professionals with really deep experience in the adoption, foster, and kinship community, both professional and personal, and all are PAC trained, we call it. We all have the permanency and adoption competency certificate from the University of Minnesota that we've taken along, you know, as well as those other professional experiences we have. And so we really have a diverse team that staffs our permanency services, and we really pride ourselves in meeting people where they're at.
Yeah.
We can, you know, on our phone line or our contact form or our emails, like, you know, we can be setting up like a deep listening intake, phone intake, you know, where we're providing a lot of resources and follow-up afterwards through phone and email. Yeah. And, but we also can be just answering one-off questions, you know, people might have, so people can interact with us on a deeper level, or you know, just for a question here and there. And so that post-permanency navigator program is exciting because we were able to reach out proactively to those who have finalized an adoption from foster care or a guardianship. And it provides 12 months of proactive check-ins to them. They can opt into this for those 12 months after the court finalization, and they can access tailored resource guides, get a monthly newsletter, access to family fun events and activities and educational offerings and support groups, get links to broader resources. That's really, really been an exciting thing to see grow in recent years.
Yeah.
And then the other big program that we have under permanency services is the HELP program. And that's a little broader than the post-permanency navigator program, because we serve folks no matter what kind of adoption or permanency or time frame. You know, we talk to people who are well before a child comes into their home to many decades later.
Yeah.
You know, and so we provide tailored resources. We have the statewide warm line, you know, and email, and we tailor resources for folks with wherever they're at.
You know? I love that. Heather, we are out of time. If people want to learn more, what's the best place to go to for just learning information?
FosterAdoptMN.org, and then click under Permanency Services to learn about our adoption, the services I just said, and the we've got lots of funding and accessibility to adoption-competent therapeutic services.
All right. Thank you, Heather. Appreciate your time today from Foster Adopt Minnesota.